Hello there, this is Dave Allen of VV 20 Questions. This is a podcast about electric vehicles, and the main idea will be to concentrate on what it's like to drive and be an owner of an electric vehicle. There are already one or two podcasts out there for electric vehicles, but they tend to concentrate on the news. It also seems that most of these podcasts tend to be what's happening with Tesla. In this podcast, we're going to be talking to owners of electric vehicles of all types, Nissan Leaf, e-Golf, Hyundai, Iconic, as well as Tesla owners. It would be nice if we can talk to drivers of electric motorcycles as well as electric car drivers. We might even have a discussion about what it's like to use an electric bicycle. I'd like to get into the nitty-gritty of owning and driving an electric vehicle. An in-depth look at ways to charge a vehicle, drive the vehicle on long and short distances. I'd like to find out from drivers what was the main tipping point that made them decide to go for an electric car. I expect to be asking guests on the show if it's true that they've become ambassadors for electric vehicles because the experience is so awesome having an electric car. Is it a case of having converted to electrons and leaving fossil fuels behind that you're unlikely to want to go back? Do electric vehicle owners find it necessary to have a backup fossil fuel car, just in case? What has it been like with the mundane things like getting insurance and dealing with maintenance of the car? All this and more in the EV 20 Questions podcast. My interest in electric vehicles and renewable energy. I have been interested in renewable energy for a very long time. Going back over 20 years, I've wanted to generate my own electric. Part of this enthusiasm came from a visit to the Centre for Alternative Technology in Wales, in the UK. It's a lovely place to visit and you get a good idea of what's possible with solar panels for heating the home, as well as for creating electricity. Back in those days when I visited the Centre for Alternative Technology, the panels used to cost an arm and a leg to buy and set up and I just couldn't afford it. We've now got to the point where photovoltaic solar panels are affordable and I can see myself getting some quite soon. Now I live in Spain where sun is plentiful and the only fly in the ointment is the Spanish sun tax. It seems the Spanish government have their hands in the pockets of the centralised electric generating companies. So there is a royal decree which makes it difficult and possibly even uneconomical to add solar panels for generating electric on private homes. You wouldn't believe how ridiculously large the fines are if you go ahead and illegally generate your own electricity. I find it hard to comprehend why politicians are allowed to get away with this. There's recently been some movements in the European Parliament, though, to stop this sort of undemocratic behaviour in Europe. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that these measures to stop Spanish residents from adding photovoltaic panels to their houses will disappear. Can only hope anyway. All the opposition parties in Spain have declared their opposition to these laws and it seems that it could change. I'm not sure how much of a difference that's going to make because the fairly right-wing government seem to have squatty rights in the Spanish Parliament at the moment. We can hope, can't we? I do have solar panels on the roof of my house which we use for heating water. Due to this, we only have to run the boiler from about November until March. The rest of the year we rely on the sun to heat our water. Sometimes earlier or later in the year we might have to switch on the boiler if there's been three or four consecutive days of cloud. But in the main it saves an awful lot in having to heat up water to have showers and things like that. So it's a good system. I definitely want to generate electricity as well. Okay, electric vehicles. I own an electric bicycle and I do enjoy riding it. It is set up so that it assists my pedalling. This means I should pedal a bike to make the electric motor work. Even though I do have a switch which works like a throttle so I could sit there and do nothing, I actually prefer to get some exercise. For me, the main benefit of having an electric bicycle is the fact that I live halfway up a hill and it really is a killer to do that hill bit of cycling without some assistance. Scooting around on a scooter. When I'm at work as a receptionist during the summertime, I often spin around the campsite on an electric scooter. It's really to use this electric scooter and I half and half use it with the rest of the time being spent riding an old German bicycle. Some of the time getting some exercise and sometime just sitting on the scooter powered by electrons. Okay, so let's get back to cars again. It's only natural that any full-blooded male is going to have an interest in Tesla cars. The fact that they're so fast with the acceleration, they're gorgeous looking, as well as being full of fantastic technology, it's not surprising they are lusted after. There's no way I can afford one of these more expensive models of the Tesla car, but I have considered the possibility of the Tesla Model 3. I have looked at the Renault Zoe because at the moment I'm driving a Renault Clio. The Clio has been a brilliant car, and it's only missing electric propulsion and Apple CarPlay to be just perfect. The Renault Zoe would give me the joy of running an electric vehicle, but it doesn't have Apple CarPlay. The infotainment system I have in the Clio really annoys me, so that just rules out the Renault Zoe as far as I'm concerned. Even though it has the 40 kilowatt battery now, and many drivers and industry pundits have enthused on how good the car is. It's won awards even. My choice for an electric car is the Nissan Leaf 2018. It now looks like a normal mainstream car, although it wouldn't bother me if it still had some of that I'm an electric car quirkiness in its looks. So I wouldn't have minded having a BMW i3, because it's kind of a bit quirky looking as well, but it was more expensive. I did have a think about the Hyundai Ioniq and half thought about the Volkswagen e-Golf, but neither of them fitted in with what I was looking for with an electric car. I have the Nissan Leaf on order, and I expect it to arrive at the end of March or maybe early April. I've ordered the car from a garage in Barcelona. Initially, I had placed an order for the special launch model, which was nearly at the level of the top of the range Nissan Leaf. With me living in a hot climate, it wouldn't be a good idea for me to buy a black car, though. This left the only option with that model, with a particularly ugly green grey colour called Spring Cloud. I've actually seen another picture of it since, and it doesn't look too bad when it's on a whole car, but still not that keen, so I thought I could live with it, but finally, when I thought about how much money I was spending, I'd rather just spend a little bit more and get a nice colour. The two colours that are available now without having to spend any extra are white and red. I have a white car at the moment, and it just seemed to make sense to go for a red one. I didn't think it was worth spending an extra €500 to get a car with a metallised paint finish. The darker metallised red paint was kind of tempting, though. With the Nissan Leaf, the base model is called a Vizia here in Europe. By getting a Vizia model, you miss out on a lot of the good technology, and it's not really worth it. It's only really good for a driver who just has to have an electric car at the cheapest price. The middle level is called an Ascenta, and you start getting things like intelligent cruise control and an infotainment system with a 7-inch screen. There is another level in between Ascenta and the top level Techna, which adds ProPilot. When you get to that point, though, you start thinking along the lines of, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, as they say in England, and go the whole hog for the top of the line, which is what I've done. I would have expected that the Techna version would have included the intelligent parking system, but that's another option, €500 on the price. I didn't really fancy spending money out on it, especially when the automatic parking in the videos looked very slow indeed, and definitely not worth spending the money on it. So what am I looking forward to the most with my new Nissan Leaf? Well, there are a lot of benefits of having an electric car that I can look forward to. It will be particularly nice not to have to visit smelly petrol stations. It'll be delightful to have the lower running costs available by charging the car at home. It'll be great to have the Apple CarPlay in the car. My present car is terrible for phone calls and denies me access to Siri when connected. Having my mobile computing and telephony integrated in the car will be marvellous. I'm looking forward to being able to use the CHAdeMO chargers available at the Nissan dealerships across Europe for free charging on longer trips. I'd like to do a road trip around the Iberic Peninsula in the Leaf and give it a proper test to the charging facilities in Spain and Portugal. I'll take pleasure in the planning of such trips and getting places with enough juice left in the car. It'll be nice not having to pay the local car tax on car ownership because it's electric. That's going to be really sweet. I've also heard that I can get a free pass to go through the toll gates on the motorways here. That'll be on the motorways here in Catalonia. I don't expect that facility to work when I'm going through France, but still, it's worth a saving. In the nearest city to me, Girona, and also in Barcelona, there are electric chargers I can use for free. I just need to register the car with the local government and then plug in whenever I want. Most of these have the CHAdeMO adapters, and that's great for the Leaf driving. I like the idea that I'll be doing something for the environment by driving an electric car. So I should say that's something I'm looking forward to when I get behind the wheel of the Nissan Leaf, and I'll try not to look too smug about it. I love the technology, and the Pro Pilot Assist is going to be absolutely wonderful. In the car I have at present, I use the cruise control at every opportunity. For a while I've considered the upgrade to intelligent cruise control, where the car will slow down if cars in front are slower, to be the next thing I was looking for. But with Pro Pilot Assist I get intelligent cruise control and the next level of driving automation. It'll be great to be able to drive along, loosely holding the steering wheel, and have the driving mostly done by the car, going round bends even. It's going to make for extremely relaxing driving, especially on the motorways. It's only really during the summertime when the traffic is so bad, when we have stop and go type driving here to deal with, although I could still encounter that if I take a drive into Barcelona. So the Pro Pilot Assist will definitely be one of the highlights of the new 2018 Nissan Leaf. Variable and controllable car heating is going to be useful. When I'm driving in the car with my wife beside me in the passenger seat, she'll be able to stay cool while I enjoy the heated seat and even the heated steering wheel. So there's plenty of things to look forward to with the 2018 Nissan Leaf, and I'm sure the time between now and my car arrives at the dealer is ready for me to pick up is going to go very slow indeed. I'm not a very patient man. So lots of new things to learn about in the new Nissan Leaf when I get it. I'm wondering about simple things like when I set the speed in Pro Pilot and I'm going to be going downhill, will that set up the regen braking in motion and keep it exactly the speed going down the hills? Compared to what it's like at the moment, where driving a petrol car down a hill, it will actually increase in speed due to the gravity when you're going down the hill. So if you've got regen and a car, then bound to stay at the proper speed, isn't it? Now, the infotainment system is going to take a fair bit of learning, probably. There seems to be lots and lots of buttons all over the car, but there's quite a few within the screen on the centre of the console there, so it'll be interesting to see how good the mapping system is compared to using Apple Maps that I'll be able to access through CarPlay. At the moment, I don't particularly like using Apple Maps. I prefer to use Google Maps or Waze. Will it be better to use a mapping system that comes to the car because it can tell me whether I have enough juice in the battery to get to the next waypoint? I wonder. The small screen that's behind the driver's wheel next to the speedometer is customisable as to which one is default. Seeing as I plan to use the Pro Pilot Assist as often as possible, it will probably be better if I have that on my default screen. But there's a few other screens here that will give plenty of other information as well, which I'll have to see exactly what's on them before I can make my decision. I expect many of the screens will have information which only needs to be looked at just once in a while. Anyway, I'll learn the ins and outs of all these screens so I know what's there and I don't forget about facilities available. I do like to find things out by doing and getting into various bits and pieces on computers and systems like the infotainment system on a car, but I'm sure I'm going to have to spend a fair bit of time reading the manual. So this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions, the first podcast in this new podcast about using electric vehicles, and hope you enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to talking to a few drivers of electric vehicles and coming back to you with some interesting podcasts about electric vehicles. Bye-bye now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.